answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That is some of the sound from earlier today at another protest focusing on ICE agents, this time outside a Minnesota hotel. As ICE agents were either preparing to do some of their work or retire for the day and take a little bit of a rest. It makes no difference. They are being targeted by organized groups. And if you look at the groups that are targeting them, you can see the same suspects over and over again. And they want you to believe this is a grassroots effort. These people are paid. They're paid to get in the face of ICE. They're paid to cause disruption and concern. Well, they've got a win to an extent. But there are two edges to this sword. I'll come back to that in a moment. First of all, welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do it? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. If you miss anything, video or audio, it's available for you. Again, at News Talk STL as a podcast. Also, LarryConnorsUSA.com and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And I'm telling you, we're on so many other platforms, I really cannot keep track of all of them. You choose the platform you want. We like you to use us, but we don't tell you what to do. That's your decision. We're glad to have you listening and watching at whatever time. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. We make sure that every hour, when you complete that hour, you know more than you did when you began that hour. That is part of our mission for you. Speaking of what's coming up later in the program, in our second hour, Sidney Powell. Remember that name? One of the attorneys, along with Rudy Giuliani, as they were fighting the Dominion voting machines and the tabulations and questioning the ballot counting in Georgia and elsewhere. Remember how Dominion voting machine went after her with a billion-dollar judgment? We'll bring you up to speed on that and what else has happened regarding Sidney Powell. She will join us in our second hour. You don't want to miss it. And also later in this hour, Fred Flights, 30-plus years in Intel security, from the National Security Administration to congressional committee investigations, and he is also an expert on Iran, and things are quickly unraveling in Iran. Death count is hard to say for sure, but certainly possibly north of 20,000. These are not combatants. These are citizens gunned down, slaughtered in the streets by their own government. And what are we going to be doing about it? We'll be getting into that with Fred coming up a little bit later. And our story behind the story today, the story behind the story, I often get questions about this. And I'll tell you right now, often you don't have the information correct, but that's all right. I understand how once it gets passed around, stories get changed and altered. But I'm going to give it to you directly. That story behind the story, the interview I did with President Barack Obama and the reaction and the fallout. That's all coming up later in this hour. Now, back to the issue of what's happening in Iran. We will get to that, obviously, as I said, as we also go to Fred Flights later. But the main issue right now that everyone is looking at, it looks like Trump has blinked. He is making a change in command advice inside Minnesota. This, to those on one side, says, we have won. We have won. He's backing off of everything. And others are still saying we want more. And then those inside serving ICE may be questioning, are we not going to get the support we thought we had? Let's get this impression from Fox News analyst Guy Benson.
Well, it seems like a demotion at the very least. And my guess is President Trump, and there were some sources whispering about this over the weekend, he was watching how everything went down in this terrible, deadly incident, the response, the statements that were made by high-ranking officials, and the backlash against the untruthfulness of some of those statements, or at least the debatable nature of what they were saying. And he said, you know, enough of this. This is, among other things, a political and PR battle, and a way to lose it is to not have credibility with the public. And so he decided to send in Tom Homan, who's a very experienced guy. He understands the job through and through. He wants to take it very seriously and do it the right way. And I think that Trump going out of his way to note that Homan hadn't been involved in Minneapolis or Minnesota was sort of a blank slate moment to say, hey, this needs fresh eyes, fresh leadership. And by the way, he's reporting directly to me. That was a shakeup, and I think a needed one.
Well, many would agree with that, at least on the optics. Simply changing the optics is a big start. But what Guy Benson was pointing out, there have been calls for Bovino, who had been heading up this event, to be pulled aside and someone else put in place. And here comes our border czar put in place. That's not going to change it for a lot of people. And the rules are still going to be the rules. Now, whether or not there'll be more control, a little bit more discernment, we don't know. The most recent shooting that happened over the weekend, there are still a lot of questions about how that went down. And I will remind you, when the first shooting happened, when Renee Good was shot, I withheld judgment. I did not immediately jump on the side of the ICE officer. It's not because I didn't want to. It's because I believe in getting all the facts before you make a determination. And anyone who has followed my career knows I am 100%+ in favor of law enforcement. But there are times law enforcement is wrong, making a mistake or an accident that turns into a major mistake. So the optics works both sides here. With Trump deciding to put our border czar Tom Homan over Minneapolis, which he has not been involved in up to now, does make it appear to be taking a different direction. Does that mean a different authorization? And to that extent, does it mean it to those in the field? Does it mean to the protesters in Minneapolis? Is it giving them a win when many of them don't deserve a win? Jonathan Turley, the law professor at George Washington University, who serves often as an analyst for Fox News, I think has a pretty good summary for you.
Well, I do believe that there was an unforced error with regard to the administration and their initial accounts of this shooting. Those accounts are not borne out by those videotapes. I mean, it does not appear that he was threatening the officer. It appears that this certainly escalated after that first contact. And that is not the impression you receive from those early statements. And so I think that what you see with the White House today is an attempt to really use Homan to offer a reset, you know, that they're going to send someone new there. Let's see what you can offer. I agree with Paul that on that list are things that Waltz will not be able to necessarily hand over. You know, he's been leading the mob. It's very hard when you lead the mob to suddenly stop and say, okay, well, now let's cooperate and work together. You know, you had people marching over the weekend with signs saying, kill the Nazis. Now, Waltz is the guy who's been referring to ICE as Gestapo. So there's still a lot that has to be overcome politically in Minnesota. With regard to the shooting, there are legitimate questions that have to be investigated. It does not appear that he was violent or threatening the officers initially. He was not obeying orders. That is also clear. He came back into the road after being told to get out of the road. But what we really need to see is that short period before you hear an officer say gun, there is an indication that one of the officers removed his gun, and during that period, one of the other officers said gun, and the shooting occurred shortly after that. You have to look at whether that was a panic shot by the officer or whether the officers were seeing something with regard to the suspect's hands. Was he trying to reach for that gun or another gun? We simply don't know.
That's the key. We simply don't know. But I'm telling you, in a fracas involving police and anyone else, and one officer sees a gun and they shout gun, immediately the other officers are on higher alert. If they'd already had their pistols drawn, they do then. And then an accident can happen, or maybe an intent takes place, but you'd like to take it back. But once the trigger is pulled, you can't do it. But all it takes is for an officer to shout, gun. And the man did have a gun with him. Now, whether or not it was aimed directly at the officers or what the intent was, we don't know. That's the point. We need more details. But again, on the left, they're going to look at this as a victory. I want you to keep in mind, I don't care how you want to consider it, if it's a victory or not, a young man is dead because of the incident. And like Renee Good, if she had not driven her car and refused the orders to get out of the car, she could be alive. In this case, if the guy had not had a 9mm pistol on him, then there'd been no gun to see. He could have been alive. That's based on what we know now. That is exactly why we want a full inquiry, not looking to exonerate the officer, not looking to whitewash a crime, not looking to make the bad guy look better, just the facts. In the meantime, back to the Middle East, the massacre of the Iranians protesting the Ayatollah. 20,000 dead in the streets, maybe more. General Jack Keane on the price being paid in blood.
This appears to be a bloodbath that compares to nothing else in terms of the horror that this regime has inflicted on its own people for 45 plus years. These numbers are absolutely staggering. And just dealing anecdotally with people on the street, so now that the internet is beginning to open up, they keep telling me that the people that are guarding them now and forcing them not to come out of their homes, most of them speak Arabic, not Farsi. So they have brought in militia from other countries to help them do this dirty deed. Listen, I think where we are with this, Dana and Bill, is this massacre for sure exceeds anything as I indicated. And the president said he was going to help, and I believe he's going to do just that. Two things are really at stake here. The regime is the weakest it's ever been in its history, politically, economically, and militarily. And I do believe an appropriate strike, obviously, to avenge what has taken place here. Also, the president gave his word. I think he'll fulfill it. But what the intent of it has to be is to further weaken the regime and put it on a pathway to its collapse.
Now, that is, again, retired four-star general Jack King. Very astute observation. Reportedly, Trump says that Iran has called him numerous times as our latest carrier entered their waters. So maybe they're still trying to make a deal, but as the opportunity passed, is the door closed? But here's the latest on that military action.
The aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln and a guided missile strike group are now in the Middle East. President Trump ordered the show of force as tensions keep rising with Iran. And we now know just how brutal and deadly that radical Islamic government acted toward protests by its own citizens.
Tension remains high across the Middle East as the United States and Iran continue to exchange words about the possibility of war. The U.S. Air Force announced new drills this week in the Middle East as the region waits to see what comes next. More military assets continue to flow to regional countries like Jordan and Qatar. A U.S. official tells Fox News the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier strike group has now entered CENTCOM waters, but is not yet considered on station. With the buildup ongoing, Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson said this about his country's capabilities should war erupt.
We possess this extraordinary defense capabilities. We are far more prepared than before. It is our duty and responsibility to defend Iran's pride, sovereignty, and territorial integrity.
Iranian civilians are also reacting to the possibility of another direct conflict with the United States and Israel. Last summer, people in the Iranian capital saw 12 straight days of war.
As for sending ships for a possible war, I personally think it was because of their own sense of danger, because Iran has always said that it will bomb their American interest in the Middle East. And I myself, as a citizen, do not say that I agree or disagree with anything, but I believe it is with our right to defend ourselves.
As the drums of war beat, we are learning new information on the protests earlier this month that sparked the current situation. Time magazine reports the death toll from the demonstrations could be as high as 30,000 people.
30,000. And that was as published by Time magazine earlier in the week. You can be assured the number is higher. In the meantime, the Iranian alleged aligned military groups are speaking out. Yemen's Houthi rebels say they're ready to resume attacks on shipping in the Red Sea. Iraq's paramilitary group, long supported by Iran's IRGC, making a direct threat against anyone who goes after Iran. Hezbollah also coming out, although walking a more delicate line, suggesting we would like to be neutral in a conversation. I bet they would. Coming up, someone who can put all of this in context for us, Fred Flights, decades in national intel. I want Fred's view on what's happening in Iran now and tomorrow and the day after. Plus, our story behind the story, my interview with President Obama. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I asked last week for this guest to try to be available today because I knew by now we would begin to see an additional escalation with Iran, and we're getting there second by second. Fred Flights, currently serving as the vice chair of the American First Policy Institute for the Center for American Security, but with decades of service to our nation in Intel Service Agency, CIA, National Intel, House Committee. Fred, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Well, I'm looking at the details, the latest regarding Iran. We now have our armada getting closer to Iran, and tensions supposedly, according to Al Jazeera, one source, tensions are ramping up. What does that mean to you?
Larry, the death toll in this country is just unbelievable. I believe tens of thousands have been killed. I've been saying that for some time. The media is starting to say that. It's worse than the Tiananmen massacre in China in the late 80s.
Wow.
The Iranian people will never forgive the government for this. There is an insurgency now. Security forces and officials, they have to watch their back because they will be killed on the street. And overthrowing dictators like this are difficult when they have aggressive security forces and when they're prepared to use any level of force to stay in power. I think that the Trump administration and Israel can weaken it, maybe by attacking some security forces, maybe the Revolutionary Guard. But this is going to be a long-term effort, and we need to have a variety of steps set up to encourage defections, to discourage military officials from firing on officials. There should be cyber attacks, and maybe efforts to help pro-Iranian groups outside of the country get into the country and change this regime.
You said everything short of U.S. boots on the ground.
That's right. I mean, we don't want to send boots on the ground. The American people don't want that. I think this is something the Iranian people have to do. I think the whole presence of this armada outside of Iran is going to have an effect. The fact that the supreme leader is in hiding, you know, we had to split this regime. We had to split the leadership. We had to encourage defections with the economy destroyed, with our tough sanctions, with this show of military force. You know, this may have an effect.
Well, I took note that before you joined us, we were playing a clip from retired Major General Jack King. I know you know him as well. And he's estimated minimum number of 50,000 plus dead. And these are civilians slaughtered in the streets.
Unfortunately, I think that the general is probably right. And Larry, it's worse than people realize. They're shooting at people's eyes. They're blinding people. The people who survive are being horribly maimed by security forces. The Iranian regime is bringing in militias from other countries, such as Shiite militias in Iraq, to fire on Iranian citizens, knowing that it may be hard to get Iranians to fire on Iranians. So they're bringing in terrorists from other countries to attack their own people.
Yeah, General King made a point of that. He said many people are being told to stay in their homes, and they're hearing it in Farsi, not their own language, basically.
Some of these security forces don't speak Farsi. They're not Iranians. Well, Iranians are many different groups, but Farsi is the language of the country, and they're individuals who speak languages that aren't spoken in the country.
What we are seeing, though, is that some of the so-called militias are beginning to do a little saber rattling on their own, saying that, for instance, the Iran-backed militias in Iraq and Yemen threatening new aircraft attacks against our ships coming in, reopening the attacks on the Red Sea. The Hezbollah, Houthi rebels, I should say they are ready to resume all of this. We can certainly expect that, but how effective would it be?
I think these are idle threats. These are the remnants of Iran's proxies. We have in Yemen, we have in Lebanon, a couple of other areas. They've been so significantly weakened by the U.S. and Israel over the last year. I mean, it's not a surprise to hear threats like that, but that's all Iran and its allies can do. Issue idle threats. It's not going to make a difference. But I should say, the U.S. is not going to bomb away the Iranian regime. It's going to take a much more in-depth and long-term strategy.
Give me an understanding of why this is different than all the mass casualties killing of Christians in Nigeria, Sudan, and those areas.
I guess it's different in that what's happening in Nigeria, where radical Islamist terrorist groups, they weren't the government. But what's happening in Iran is that the government is executing its people. It's something that we would have expected the Nazis to do. It's what the communist government in China did. And regrettably, these dictatorial regimes, they have learned from history how to hold on to power, how to keep control of their military, their security forces. Bringing in security forces and militias from other countries is one of these tactics. It can be overcome, but there's going to be a lot of bloodshed before it is.
There have been reports from the White House that Iran has been making numerous calls to President Trump, trying to get through to him and trying to say, hey, let's find another way out of this. Do you believe that's true or just?
Yeah, the regime.
Yes, sir.
I think it's true. The regime thinks they can trick President Trump into some kind of a fake deal. I think Trump will talk to them, but his condition will be you have to stop executing your people. You call off your security forces. You do that and we'll talk. But if they're not going to do that, and they can't, because that's how the supreme leader is staying in power, there's not going to be a deal.
I'm looking at a piece from the New York Times. I'm sure you saw it as well, an opinion piece. The time has come for the U.S. to act in Iran.
I didn't see that. I'm not surprised. And there are many people like my old friend John Bolton, who's always wanted to bomb the heck out of Iran to get rid of the regime. And I understand that. And maybe we will have to bomb certain targets in Iran. But this is something the Iranian people have to do. And there's not going to be some short-term way to knock this government out. But I'm glad that the New York Times seems to be siding with President Trump. I have a feeling when we read the op-ed, we'll find out it doesn't really support Trump. But maybe in general they do.
Yeah, I would take the headline and kind of flash it briefly. One of the things about attacking the facilities at Fodor, deeply buried underground, that would have to have multiple series of bombs going down the same shaft to be effective, to stop their nuclear production, correct?
Well, at that facility, these were deep, there was a chamber deep underground where Iran was enriching uranium to near weapons grade. And the bunker buster bombs that Trump ordered sent there last June, one knocked out the cover over the air shaft. Then we dropped the other bombs down the air shafts. I think that facility exploded from within. I don't think it will ever be used again.
There's one other story here that I certainly want to bring attention to. We have the time clock has stopped regarding hostages being held in Hamas.
Trump's ceasefire with his 20-point peace plan got all the living hostages out of Gaza being held by Hamas. And I think just about 2 days ago, maybe a day ago, the Israelis got the final body of a deceased hostage out of the territory. Now, Israel did not want to deal any further on the peace plan until that was accomplished. I don't think Trump was going to wait for that, but it's very important to the Jewish people that everyone, all the hostages, living and dead, get out of there so there is an opportunity for their family to have a funeral service.
And a footnote, side note to that is, what does that tell Iran about our resolve?
I think the Iranians are very concerned about our resolve. What happened to Maduro with our decision to bomb their nuclear sites, how Trump is pushing forward on this Gaza plan. I believe that peace through strength really works. And these adversaries we face, they respect strength. It puts it in a position where I have to negotiate. But I got to tell you, Larry, I saw today the Iranian foreign minister was saying Iran won't give up uranium enrichment in any deal. I mean, do they ever learn?
No, I guess not. So are we looking at carpet bombing Iran?
I don't think that would be a good plan. I think taking out discrete security services, maybe arms depots is an idea, but I don't know. Carpet bombing implies an awful lot of civilian injuries. Right. It's a difficult challenge.
Fred, I want to thank you very much for making time in advance and make yourself available for today. Thank you, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. God bless. Fred Flights, Vice Chair of the American First Policy Institute in the Center for American Security, an expert on what's happening and will happen in Iran. We will obviously have him back. Coming up, our story behind the story, my interview with President Obama.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, and you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40, EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
The economy is a big issue and concern for folks. I mean, the unemployment, trying to make ends meet, gas prices, food prices going up. Some of our viewers are complaining they just don't, you know, they get frustrated, even angered, when they see the first family jetting around different vacations and so forth. Sometimes maybe they think under color of state business, and that you're out of touch, that you don't really know what they're experiencing right
well,
now.
Well, I don't know how many viewers you're talking about that say that.
We do hear from some.
Well, I hear from all kinds of viewers about everything.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I think if you look at my track record, I'm raising a family here.
That was not really the question and not the answer. We'll come back to that in a moment. The date was April 2012. I was one of, I believe, maybe six reporters across the nation having a chance to interview President Barack Obama. Now, I got the job from our station because I have had a reputation for interviewing various presidents and always treating them in a fair, even-handed, and at the same time, a pressing interview, not always softballs. I'm telling you, when we went to do the interview, we're in a waiting room for the others as they do theirs, and we can watch on a closed screen the questions they were asking. And I kid you not, one of the reporters who will remain nameless from some market, I think, asked something about the effect about if you were a color or a flower or something like that, what would you be? I had no idea why you would waste that kind of time in an interview with the president. Now, I do know I've done enough of these that you don't have a lot of time. And if you ask a really tough question, your time might be shortened considerably. So you need to serve up numerous questions in a different fashion. You can't jump right to something you might want to have. You've got to kind of soften it a bit. And in every interview I've done with any president, I've been able to simply reach across and we could shake hands. I've never been in a situation like I was that day at the White House where Obama is in a chair, I'm in another chair, and we're probably I'm estimating 8 feet apart. Either way, it was far enough you could not sit in the chair and reach over and shake hands. Everyone had the same scenario, so it was not just because of me. Now, I mentioned that I've interviewed several presidents. I often have folks say, how many presidents did you interview? My first response is always, we're not counting Lincoln, are we? And some people look at me like, really? No, I did not interview Lincoln. I did interview Nixon twice, once during the Watergate period, and then once after Watergate, after he had left office. Ford, Carter, twice for Carter, one up at Hannibal, another as he was on the St. Louis Riverfront. I've interviewed Bush 41, Bush 45, and then the last one, Obama. In each case, I look for good, tough, relevant questions. I'm not looking to ambush them. I just want to make sure we're doing a good job asking questions that are valid. Now, if you look at some of the coverage that followed my interview with Obama, it was all about me and my IRS issues. I'll come to that again in a moment. But when I went in, knowing that we have maybe 3, maybe 5 minutes of interview time, I had to make the most of it. The station wanted me to cut a promo before I left the day before. And the attitude was, I'm going to D.C. and I'm going to ask President Obama the tough questions for you. I said, look, I don't know how much time I'm going to have. And I don't know how many tough questions I can ask. I've done enough of these to understand how the game is played. Well, we want you to do the promo. So they were promoting me, going to D.C., asking Obama tough, tough questions. But then when I did ask a tough question, blowback, and, you shouldn't have done that one. All right, here we go. Here's what I asked in part. Just the week before, the Supreme Court had decided to take up the Obamacare issue. And Obama had made a statement that I'm sure the Supreme Court will make the right decision. When you ask a question, you really want to know what the answer is going to be to begin with. So I knew what his response was, but I'm still going to ask the question. Question, are you using the presidential bully pulpit to tell the Supreme Court justices how they should rule on Obamacare? The answer, I already knew. No, of course not. I can't do that. They wouldn't do that, and I can't do that. Good question. Expected answer. At the same time, Obama had Claire McCaskill in Missouri running for re-election. And she was facing a very tough election against Todd Akin until he shot himself in the foot. When Obama first announced he was going to run in the primary against Hillary, she lost a lot of female support. Their attitude, not that you're voting for a black man, but why are you not supporting a woman for president? And many of her followers made it very clear, because you're supporting Obama and helping run his campaign in Missouri, we will not be there for you for re-election. So she had a razor-thin lead at that point anyway, if she had a lead. Then the other question. I pointed out during the interview that some folks question why you're always traveling the world, taking the family with you under color of state flag. During the interview, if you look at it and pull it up on YouTube, it's still available, and you look at it from over my shoulder, he's smiling all the way up to that point. Smiling, jovial, head nodding, But then I ask, but some think that you are out of touch with the country because you're going all over the world, taking the family with you, the kids and grandma, to go to various countries. The kids and grandma had no business for state. Now, I'm not saying you can't take your family. I just wanted his answer because I pointed out a lot of people in our nation right now are having a hard time taking their kids to Six Flags or something. And he agreed. And he kind of nodded. Do you understand? I said, so they see you doing this. They think you're out of touch. And the video is seen over my shoulder, even though he's at least 8 feet from me. His head kind of jerks back, and he looks at me with kind of a glare and kind of like, well, who says that? It was almost as if I had reached across and slapped the man. He's the president of the United States. Like him or not, vote for him or not, I'm going to give him all due respect. As I had every other president. I had Bush 41 get upset with me when I told him, I don't think you can win. And suddenly our great discussion we were having went south. And an interview with Nixon during Watergate while I was visiting Houston during Watergate, those were all softball questions, just trying to get as much as we could out of him. But then when he showed up in St. Louis years later at the University Club in Clayton, I cornered him outside as he's getting in his car and hit him with some hard questions, and they were not that appreciated. But all that was history at that point. But the other part of the story that came into play, when I got back, I ran into not one, not two, but probably half a dozen people who told me, the IRS is going to come after you because of what you did to Obama. My answer was, no, they're not. They don't do that. Well, unbeknown to me and all of us at that time, Lois Lerner and the IRS was doing exactly that with every nonprofit group that might have Trump or Republican or conservative in their name. They were not giving them exceptions for tax-exempt status. They were quickly processing anyone else, but the others could take months. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
The economy is a big issue and concern for folks. I mean, the unemployment, trying to make ends meet, gas prices, food prices going up. Some of our viewers are complaining that they just don't, you know, they get frustrated, even angered, when they see the first family jetting around different vacations and so forth. Sometimes maybe they think under color of state business, and that you're out of touch, that you don't really know what they're experiencing right
well,
now.
Well, I don't know how many viewers you're talking about that say that.
We do hear from some.
Well, I hear from all
I'm
kinds
sure you
of
viewers
about everything.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I think if you look at my track record, I'm raising a family here. When we travel, we got to travel through Secret Service and Air Force One. That's not my choice. I think most folks understand how hard I work and how hard this administration is working on behalf of the American people.
The president dodged the question, and there was not a lot of time in this format to ask a lot of follow-up questions. Critics are not concerned about his need for Secret Service or Air Force One. They're questioning all the family vacations, where, when, how often, all at taxpayer expense, especially in light of this economy. From the White House, Washington, D.C., I'm Larry Connors.
And that was how my report concluded that night. The IRS issue. I had a dispute with the IRS on how much I owed, and my attorney and I were fighting it, which you're entitled to do. but we were making payments as we were fighting it. I suddenly got a call from a local newspaper reporter. Why is your house being foreclosed on by the government? I said, what? I called my attorney. He said, did you not make a payment? I said, no, I can document every payment I made. And he was not that astute in IRS law. He said, well, that doesn't make sense. It turns out that if you're in arrears on taxes, even though you're battling them, if you file for an extension again, they can foreclose. I know that now. I didn't know it then, nor did my attorney. But the ironic thing is that suit going after me and my house was filed in Chicago. Interesting. At least I thought so. And I wrote later an opinion saying the IRS began hammering me. I did admit later, look, I had the issue before then, which was true. But now I felt I'm being hammered because of this. And again, that was based on the knowledge I had at that time. Well, the station wanted me to read a correction, and I had to read it verbatim. But that didn't keep me from smiling a bit when I read it. The audience got the idea. Management didn't like that. Said, where is it saying here I have to be stern and sorrowful and tearful? Bottom line is, I still say it was a legitimate interview, a legitimate question, and then I had questions about how the IRS was reacting. And based on what we know about the IRS now, and especially during Lois Lerner years, Obama years, Biden years, I think it's still a legitimate question. You can disagree. That's your choice. But now you know more of the story behind the story of the interview with President Obama. I didn't ask for it, except that when it became available, I wanted it. Every reporter wants that kind of interview. And I came back with more than just that one question that you're out of touch. The Claire McCaskill, the Obamacare. But that one issue caught fire. Our story behind the story tomorrow. The man who put radioactive pellets into his child's underwear. That's tomorrow. Second hour still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.